So I will start first with this announcement. I'm pretty sure that all of you already saw this. This is great that Nobel Prize went to such a great scientist and human being. And topic of autophagy also will be a little bit not covered but touched in my presentation also. And so just this is important issue because right now we know that many diseases somehow related to mutation in the genes which related to autophagy, and also knowing the mechanism how it is related to disease will be helpful in preventing this disease.
Can we speak a little bit more?
Okay.
Yeah.
So in my lecture, I will cover very briefly cell theory and structure and function of specific cells and specific cell components, and we'll compare normal cells with cancer cells, and we'll tell you a little bit of tumor microenvironment. So how all the cells, cellular structures and cellular components are interacted, and so how we can affect tumor by targeting the tumor microenvironment, and not only the tumor but tumor microenvironment. So first of all, cells. So first discovered by Robert Hooke in 1665, and it was the smallest unit in every organism, how they described it. And much later, in 19th century, German scientists Matthias Schleiden, Theodor Schwann, and Rudolf Virchow were analyzing, combining all collected data, and the cell theory was developed. And main principles of cell theory are: all living organisms are composed of cells. Cells are the essential units of structure and function in the organism, and cells are produced through the division of pre-existing cells. So cells cannot appear from something else, not the cell. and the basic cell structure is different in two big groups of all living things. So this is difference between prokaryotic cells and eukaryotic cells. So prokaryotes, it is archaea and bacteria, and the major thing of this major feature of their cell, which differ them from eukaryotic cells, is absence of nucleus. And their circular shaped DNA is not covered with specific multiple proteins, but still there is a particular place in the cell, bacterial cell where this nuclear this DNA is located. And the other major feature, absent feature, is absence of membrane bound organelles in prokaryotic cells. So, and obviously eukaryotic cells have nucleus and membrane-bound organelles. They have a very developed cytoskeleton, and their DNA is organized in chromatin and chromosomes. And as you know, that cell is very complex structure. But we may say the cell is a mass of protoplasm which separated from external environment by plasma membrane. And inside this plasma membrane there are multiple organelles, multiple structures. The most important, we may say, because it is how the genome of the cell is nucleus. And in cytoplasm, there are multiple organelles, mitochondria, endoplasmic reticulum. Okay. So here on this scheme is nucleus, and here is endoplasmic reticulum, Golgi apparatus, ribosomes, which are related to endoplasmic reticulum, and lysosomes, vacuoles, and mitochondria, and different fibers of cytoskeleton, microfilaments, intermediate filaments, and microtubules. So, and there are some cytoskeletal organelles, also centromeres and centrosomes, and multiple cytoplasmic inclusions. So plasma membrane, as you know, is a very also complex structure which has protein and lipid components, and lipid bilayer consists of phospholipids, cholesterol, and glycolipids. And major component phospholipids, they organized with polar head, which looks outside of the cell and or inside of the cell in cytoplasm region. And also it is it has this molecule has non-polar tail, and tail of these two molecules looking to each other, and they create some weak bond, but this bond permits this bilayer structure. And some other lipid molecules are incorporated in this bilayer. And proteins are integrated into the structure. There are two types, major types of proteins. Integral transmembrane proteins, the proteins which going through this bilayer membrane. And many of them are receptors, and some of them have other functions. And there are some peripheral proteins. And usually these proteins are related to cytoskeleton, so they are looking to cytoplasm and connected to fibers of cytoskeleton. So function of plasma membrane, obviously, separation of cell content from environment. It creates shape of the cell. It controls transport of molecules in and out of the cell. And there are different types of permeability. So there is some basic transport by osmosis and dialysis. And also there are there is active transport, which is going through specific structures or by transport proteins. This membrane regulates cell-cell interactions, and also by exposing some specific proteins, it is responsible for identity of the cells. Plus, it helps cell movements, and also very important function, it transduces extracellular physical or chemical signals into intracellular space. Nucleus. For a long time, we thought that it is pretty simple structure which just keeps DNA in organized fashion. But now we have more and more data which shows very strong organization, very specific organization of the structure. And this slide illustrates by microphotography some structures which are found inside the nucleus. But this organization is very specific and precise, so each organelle has its specific place in this structure. So the first important structure of nucleus is nuclear envelope, which is composed of inner and outer membrane, and perinuclear place, space which is between these two membranes. And places where these two membranes connected, they have additional protein structures, and this structure is nuclear pore. And this provides connection with next structure of cell endoplasmatic reticulum. So this membrane, double membrane, separates nuclear plasm from cytoplasm. And in the this structure in nuclear plasm, we have multiple domains where some DNA organizing chromatin and chromosome is localized, and also there are some additional structures. The most obvious and important is nucleolus, which is the major place where RNA is synthesized and where formation of ribosomes occur, and so protein synthesis depends on this structure. So briefly, the function which I already mentioned is a storage of genetic material, production of messenger RNA and ribosomes that needed for protein synthesis, storage of RNA in the nucleolus, and during cell division, chromatins are arranged into chromosomes in the nucleus. Function in selective transportation of regulatory factors and energy molecules through nuclear pores. And talking about energy, we need to describe mitochondria, or the powerhouse of the cell. Again, it is a structure which bounded by bilayer membrane, and there are two different types of membranes: smooth outer membrane, which cover mitochondria outside, and this membrane is permeable for small molecules. And the other inner membrane, which is folded with different layers, which are called cristae, and this membrane is impenetrable, and so this separates internal space or mitochondrial matrix from outside, and also from intermembrane space. So functions supply cellular energy, ATP synthesis through oxidative phosphorylation named Krebs cycle. It is signaling, it is cellular involvement in cellular differentiation and involvement in cell death. And also control of cell cycle and cell growth. Because you already have a lecture about metabolism in the cells, and so in details went through mitochondria oxidative phosphorylation and ATP synthesis, so I just presented this figure, which now you, I hope you're familiar with. And just want to mention two also important things about mitochondria, that during respiratory chain, so cells produce and accumulate peroxide, and this molecule is also important in signaling, and multiple responses are possible through accumulation of this molecule. And there are response in case of gradient of this molecule, and response can be short-term when specific enzymes which can reduce level of peroxide synthesized, or it can be even long-term response, which is related to signaling from nucleus to the mitochondria. And the other product of mitochondria physiology is reactive oxygen species, generation of free radicals. And because of a harmful feature of these radicals, so it is possible that not only signaling can be affected, but also some damage to mitochondria and some other structures is possible. And related to this damage, some disease can occur, and also the process of aging also related to reactive oxygen species. But in normal conditions, these processes are well regulated, and response to them is very specific. This function is also very important for the cell and also for tissue and the whole organism, because mitochondria regulate apoptotic cell death and cell growth. And in case of apoptosis regulation, there are a few very important players of this. So one of them is molecule BCL2, which resides on the outer membrane on its surface. And when something, some signaling from outside or something goes wrong inside the mitochondria, so this protein is activated and activates the other apoptosis-related protein, BACS, and BACS creates some holes in the outer membrane. And very important protein, cytochrome C, is coming out of inner space between these two membranes, and it's found the other protein, which is just floating in the cytoplasm of the cell. It is APAP1 or apoptotic protease activating factor 1. And combination of cytochrome C with this protein creates apoptosome, the structure which initiates all apoptotic process further. And when the structure is formed, it also includes caspase 9, which activates all downstream caspase cascade, which leads to apoptotic cell death or regulated cell death. And when I mentioned nuclear envelope, nuclear membrane, so I mentioned that it is connected to endoplasmic reticulum. And so endoplasmic reticulum, it is also membrane system, and this system creates sac-like structures which named cisterna, and inside them is the cisternal space which has some soluble proteins and enzymes. There are two types of endoplasmatic reticulum. It is a smooth type and rough type. Rough type looks like rough surface because ribosomes are embedded in the surface of this membrane. And this part of endoplasmic reticulum responsible for protein synthesis. And smooth type, it doesn't have ribosomes. It contains enzymes for lipid biosynthesis and also involved in attachment of tags to some proteins which need to be transported to other parts of the cell. So, as I already said, rough type important for protein folding, modification, and secretion, also it controls by it provides quality control of the proteins. And in case of unfolded or misfolded proteins, there is specific process named ER-associated protein degradation, which leads to removal of misfolded proteins. And transport of new synthesized proteins is also is going through RAF ER, and this transport goes directly to Golgi apparatus, where additional modifications of proteins are done. And in case of smooth type, it is lipid and sterol biosynthesis, plus the detoxification of the drugs and synthesis of core oligosaccharides. Plus, it is also involved in regulation of apoptosis through accumulation of calcium ions and in ER lumen. And it regulates release of these ions into the cytoplasm. And so through this, it is involved in homeostasis of the cell. And as I mentioned, if there is a specific process which is responsible for removal of misfolded proteins, and accumulation of misfolded proteins, which can occur as a result of some mutation or some other disbalance, this process named ER stress. And there are a few ways to overcome this condition. So it is shown here that in case of in case of everything is going right, so proteins modified, refold, and then they are going to Golgi apparatus and to their destination. In case of misfolding, so there are a few scenarios how it can be resolved. In case of small changes, so usually misfolded proteins are just ubiquitinated and degraded in proteasome. But if this process is going farther, and so it is multiple misfolded proteins, so it leads to starting mechanism which leads to apoptosis. And if protein is folded right, that the next step is its transportation to the Golgi apparatus. So Golgi apparatus, again, it is membrane structure which consists of multiple stacks of cisterna, and usually it is kind of tubules and vesicles which are located at the end of the structure. So these structures are responsible for travel between different parts of the cell. But the main direction usually is from ER to inside the cytoplasm or outside the cell. And this structure is also has some separational function, and so separation of their structure. So there is this phase which is very close to endoplasmatic reticulum, and this part receives some vesicles from here, some transport vesicles from ER. And then these vesicles which have some proteins are fused with this membrane, and proteins just move farther in the system. So there is a transphase which is outer part or farthest part from ER. And here the process of creation of vesicles which goes out of Golgi apparatus formed. And in between, there are regions where different enzymes are doing all these modifications. The major things with, which happened here is post-translational modifications of proteins. And as I told that, so these vesicles with specific proteins are going from ER to Golgi, where they're moving through these spaces with different enzymes, and depending on type of protein and the protein destination, it goes, it has specific modifications. For example, specific tags which provide direction to outer membrane or to cell membrane or even to secretion out of the cells are loaded in case of this post-translational modification. The other thing, it is production of lysosome. Lysosome is very specific structure which is responsible for degradation of every molecule which is imaginable in cells. And I will tell a few words about lysosome a little bit later. So, and the very important function of Golgi apparatus, it creates or tags multiple proteins which are responsible for building of extracellular matrix of the cells. So formation of proteoglycans and some additional modifications of the protein. And lysosome is an interesting structure because it is very different from by its content from all other structures. It is still a membrane enclosed vesicle, and it is separated, this vesicle separated from Golgi apparatus. And this structure is found in all animal cells. But its internal content is very specific. It is very acidic environment with pH 4.5, 4.7, and all enzymes which are reside here, so enzymes which destroy all type of macromolecules. And there are two types of lysosome, one which degrade proteins, proteasomes, and the other which are responsible for other type of molecules degradation, peroxisomes. So, and what they are doing, they oxidize and catalyze. The structure, it forms through some maturity. So there are small vesicle which contains all this enzymes which separates from Golgi apparatus. But then it is fused with additional structure, and only after this combination the mature peroxisome proteasome are formed. And it is important that if the structure is destroyed, so enzymes of which reside there cannot destroy cells because they are very tightly they depend on pH of the structure, and they can work only at this very low pHs, so they cannot work in cytoplasm which has pH around 7.2. And some names for lysosomes obviously related to their function, and they are named by some scientists by suicide bags or some other not so so nice titles. And but this structure is very this organelle is very important because it is responsible for cellular homeostasis and involvement through involvement in secretion, plasma membrane repair, cell signaling, and energy metabolism. And there are three types of utilization of all what is not needed in the cells. So if it is bacteria or viruses, they are destroyed by lysosomes through process named phagocytosis. And if it is damaged organelle, this process is autophagy, and autophagy goes through lysosome. And also, if it is any kind of molecule, a macromolecule, which not needed in the cell anymore, so this goes through, degradation goes through process named endocytosis. And here are also electron micro photograph of the structure, peroxisome, which has degrading mitochondrial fragments. And all these organelles are not chaotically floating in the cytoplasm of the cell, but all of them are arranged in specific compartments, and all these arrangements are possible because of also inner structure of the cell. It's cytoskeleton. So obviously cytoskeleton is very important for shape of the cells and for cells movements also. So cytoskeleton is lying under the cell membrane in cytoplasm, and there are three major kind of cytoskeleton filaments. So it is microfilaments, which are composed of actin. It is intermediate filaments, and there are more than 70 different type of proteins, which are different types of keratin, and also microtubules, which consist of subunit of tubulin. So here is diagram how actin filaments or microfilaments are organized, and there are some globular actin molecules or G-actin, and when these globular structures are polymerized, so they form this filamentous actin or F-actin, and through interaction with other motor molecules in the cells, so there is possible some contraction of these fibers, and this leads to a movement of the cell, or cytokinesis, and also amoeboid movement of the cell. Next structure, it is intermediate filaments, and it is rope-like structures, which can be of size from 8 to 12 nanometers. And this structure or this filaments are feature of animal cells. And they consist of, composed of polymerized keratin proteins, which I mentioned, here it is 60, but there are more than 70 types of keratin. And the last important part of cytoskeleton is microtubules, composed of polymerized alpha and beta tubulin. And this structure is the longest structure in cytoskeleton, and length of these structures can be even more than 25 micrometers, up to 50 micrometers in some cells. And it is some kind of hollow tube, which has two different types of tubulin molecules organized in very specific order. And depending on how this alpha and beta tubulins are arranged in this structure, so the different types of movement are possible. And these tubulin structures are responsible for movement of cilia and flagella to very specialized structures of cells, bacterial cells, which permit them to specific movement. So just to summarize, cytoskeleton is the basis for cell shape, cell polarity, cell movement, and also this movement is possible because actin filaments and tubulin, all of them can interact with additional motor proteins, and these motor proteins permit some movement of this filament. So obviously this is very important for cell cycle, and because it chromosome separation during mitosis and meiosis are going through contraction of this actin and tubulin structures. Also, this structure, is, cytoskeleton is very, proteins of cytoskeleton are very important for cell attachment, detachment, because cells are attached to the substrate, to the extracellular matrix through focal adhesions, so the spots where some molecules interact with each other on the cell surface and outside the cells. And disassembly of these complexes also going through these molecules. And also it is important for movement of different vesicles, organelles, and intracellular macromolecular assembly. And also phagocytosis and healing of the wound. And what is extracellular matrix, which I already mentioned a few times? It is a collection of extracellular molecules secreted by the cells and which provide structural and biochemical support to the surrounding cells. And this is the consistency of this structure made of specific adhesive glycoproteins, fibronectin and laminin, also structural proteins, collagen and elastin, and polysaccharides, glucosaminoglycan and proteoglycan. And there are also multiple cells which are embedded in this fibrous structure. It can be a fibroblast, it can be epithelial cells, and also this structure can serve as accumulation of some secreted proteins, for example, cytokines, and they can be provided to the cell later when the need for these cytokines will be in the cell. And it is this structure plays a very important role in tumor development, which I will mention later. So just again for summary, this structure is important for cell shaping, cell attachment, adhesion, migration, and as an example is wound healing, for proliferation, formation of cell polarity, differentiation, survival and apoptosis, motility, management of growth factors, and obviously it plays a very important role in developmental processes. How cell interacts with ACM? So there are molecules named integrins, which reside on the outer membrane of the cell. And these molecules are receptors for ECM. If they are located in small areas where there is a high concentration of this molecule, this area forms a focal adhesion where cells are attached to ECM. And but it is a very specific signaling process also, and some outside signals can be growth factors, can be some molecules can activate signal receptor, which activates integrins, and only after that integrin interacts with some molecules in extracellular matrix bound to it, and by this mechanism cells are attaching to extracellular matrix. In addition to interaction with the cellular matrix, obviously cells should interact with each other, and there are a few different types of connection of cells with each other. So in case of homotypic cell adhesion, or when the cells of the same type are interacting with each other, in this type of interaction is involved protein named E-cadherin. And this protein is one of the characteristics of the epithelium. Cadherins are transmembrane proteins which are calcium dependent, and this interaction provides zipper-like structure which also stabilized by additional proteins, and very important part of the protein is catenin. These cadherins are also type specific, tissue specific, and there are a few types. The most abundant is E-cadherin, which is important for epithelial adhesion, and there are also T-cadherin for placental during the development, and also M-cadherin, neuronal type, which is also is one of the characteristics of mesenchymal cells. And here are examples of different types of cellular junction. So these are the three major types of interaction. The first one, tight junction, is characteristic of epithelium of skin and also some intestine, kidney, bladder tissues. And this tight junction created by fusion membrane of two neighboring cells. The other structure, which also was found in skin, but also very common for heart tissues, is desmosomes. And this structure created by additional proteins, and in this case, two cell membranes are connected through additional proteins. And one of the type of this additional proteins in desmosomes are cadherins. And third type of junction is gap junction, and this also formed through additional proteins named connexons. And in this case, these proteins form some type of channel. And in case of this channel, small molecules can go through this pore and from cell to cell. And this example of this tissues is animal embryos and also muscle, where through this junction ions flow from one cell to the other. And as I already mentioned, mesenchymal cells, this type of cell is very important for many tissue, because this type of cell can differentiate in a few different types of other cells. And this is uniform, small, spindle-shaped cells which don't have tight cell-cell contacts. And because of their ability to movement, they can invade through ETM. And these cells are just bipolar. They don't have additional structures. And they, the one of the major marker of these cells are cadherin and cadherin, which I already mentioned, and also fibronectin, vimentin, twist, and snail proteins. And these proteins are also characteristic of process named epithelial mesenchymal transition. So, and I didn't mention anything about epithelial cells, but obviously they are kind of opposite to mesenchymal cells. They are not moving. They have polarity, and they also have a very tight junction. And also, their major protein characteristic is E. cadherin. And in some, epithelial mesenchymal transition is very important process which first was described in case of developmental processes, because this is how some new tissue are formed in embryo. And this process is characterized by loss of E. cadherin by epithelial cells, and dissolving this tight junction between the cells, and which leads to cell motility and invasion. The shape of the cells also is changing because of the replacement of some structural proteins and, in the cytoskeleton. And when this change occurs, so the cells express different type of proteins, different genes are activated, so there is a big difference between these two types. And this process is, as I mentioned, important for embryonic development. It is important for some healing processes, but also it is very important step in development of tumor. And here is end of the first part about the normal cells, and I would like to show you a very nice.
Carried away at high velocity by a strong blood flow, leukocytes grow slowly on endothelial cells. T-selectins on endothelial cells interact with PSGL-1, a glycoprotein on leukocyte microglia. Leukocytes, which from the blood flow, adhere and grow on endothelial cells because existing interactions are broken while new ones are formed. These interactions are possible because the extended extracellular domains of both proteins emerge from the extracellular matrix, which covers the surface of both cell lines. The outer layer of the lipid bilayer is enriched in single lipids and phosphatidylcholine. Single lipid rich rafts raised above the rest of the liquid to recruit specific membrane proteins. RAS rigidity is caused by the tight packing of cholesterol molecules against the straight single lipid hydrocarbon chains. Outside the RAS, heats and unsaturated hydrocarbon chains at lower cholesterol concentration result in increased fluid. Excites inflammation. Secreted chemokines bound to heparin sulfate artery ligand on endothelial cells are presented to leukocyte 7 transmembrane receptors. The binding stimulates leukocytes and triggers an intracellular cascade of signaling reactions. The responsible for the central organization of cytosolic components. Inside microvilli, actin filaments form high-powered filaments, which are serialized by cross-linking proteins. While vapor in the cytosol, the actin then work across a gel-like structure, stabilized by a variety of actin-binding proteins. Filaments, after their minus ends by a protein complex, grow away from the plasma membrane by the addition of actin monomers to their device. The actin network is a very dynamic structure with continuous directional polymerization and disassembly. Simmering proteins induce peaks in color and lead to the formation of short fragments that rapidly depolymerize or rise to new filaments. The cytoskeleton includes a network of microtubules created by the lateral association of carbon filaments, formed by the polymerization of tubular dimers. While the plus ends of some microtubules extend toward the plasma membrane, proteins stabilize the current conformation of protofilaments from other microtubules, causing their rapid plus end depolymerization. Microtubules provide tracks along which membrane-bound vesicles travel to and from the plasma membrane. The directional movement of these microvesicles is due to a family of motor proteins, lymphy vesicles, microtubules. Membrane-bound organelles, mitochondria, are loosely trapped by the cytoskeleton. Mitochondria change shape continuously, and their orientation is partly dictated by their interaction with microtubules. All the microtubules originate from the centrosome, a discrete fiber structure containing two orthogonal centrioles and located near the cell membrane. Pores in the nuclear envelope allow the import of particles containing mRNA and proteins into the cytosol. Here, free ribosomes translate the mRNA molecules into proteins. Some of these proteins will reside in the cytosol. Others will associate with specialized cytosolic proteins can be imported into mitochondria or other organelles. The synthesis, cell-secreted, and integral membrane proteins is initiated by free ribosomes, which then dock the protein translocators at the surface of the endoplasmic reticulum. Nascent proteins pass through an aqueous pore of the translocator. Cell-secreted proteins accumulate in the lumen of the endoplasmic reticulum, while integral membrane proteins become embedded in the endoplasmic reticular membrane. Proteins are transported from the endoplasmic reticulum to the Golgi apparatus by vesicles traveling along the microtubule. Membrane receptors. This finding causes the conformation of change in the process of all, including fermentation. Growing, activation, adhesion, and transient renal migration are the four steps of a process called leukocyte extravasation.
Okay, so and on the example of leukocyte movement, so you saw all structures involved in production and movement in the cell. And now we are going to compare normal cells with cancer cells, and I will try to briefly describe how cell structures are affected by this transformation, and how interaction of cancer cells with microenvironment can be targeted by therapies. So obviously there are a lot of changes in cancer cell, and first of all we can see that cells are change their shape, and they change not only the internal outer shape, but also there are different changes in the structures and organelles of the cell. And it has small cytoplasmic volume relative to nuclei. Nuclei now are much bigger than the normal cells. Variation in size and shape, loss of many specialized cell features, and it is absence of tight junction between cells. Cells now disorganized, and there are no well-defined boundaries of the cell structure. And on the right side of the slide, you can see immunostaining of mammary gland in normal condition and after transformation, so where cells are now look much less organized, and so there are changes in spaces between cells and different changes in vascularization and some other features. So major characteristic of cancer cells are uncontrolled cellular proliferation, unbalanced cell division, loss of apoptosis, loss of special functions, and abnormal angiogenesis and vessel wall structures. It is now highly invasive cells, and which lead to metastasis, and also biochemically or metabolically, these cells can be characterized by high glycolic rate and hypoxia. So I'm pretty sure that you saw this picture a few times already, and read the very important article of Hannan and Weinberg, Hallmarks of Cancer in the Next Generation, where they describe all changes which lead to tumor formation and progression, and all these changes were updated with additional new data, and authors suggested that in addition to all previous six changes, there are also additional feature of cells as avoiding immune destruction. The cells avoid immune destruction. Also, it is inflammation which also fire the changes. Then it is genome instability and accumulation of mutation and deregulation of cellular energetic. And I will try to correlate some changes in cell structure with all of this hallmark of the cancer. So instability and mutation. And what we can see in cancer cells is dramatic changes in nuclear structure in cancer cells. So if normal cells have a single small nucleus and nucleolus, which are well defined and placed, there are fine chromatin granules in the nucleus and staining of the nucleus with specific protein nuclein is absolutely clear, and shape of the nucleus is smooth and well-defined. All of these features are absent in cancer cell, so the nucleus is very much lost its shape. So there are huge nucleoli and also sometimes there are multiple nucleoli and even nuclei in the cancer cells. It is the chromatin is not organized well anymore, so it is clumps of the chromatin. Staining is very different, and this space nuclear matrix is now disorganized and also now have much more space than it was in normal cells. And all small organelles of the nuclear now is mislocalized, disorganized, and specific nuclear matrix proteins even can be absent in cancer cells. And we already spoke about energetics of the cell, and obviously defective Krebs cycle is one of the hallmarks of cells, cancer cells. And so cancer cell doesn't use Krebs cycle as a major source of energy, and they switch to glycolysis, and they produce energy in the absence of oxygen. Here is a schematic representation of these processes in normal tissue which is differentiated, where the most ATP production goes through oxidative phosphorylation, and in case of absence of oxygen, it goes through anaerobic glycolysis. And in case of proliferative tissue, very often it is anaerobic glycolysis, but in case of tumor cells, it is only and always anaerobic glycolysis. Or this effect was discovered by Warburg and has its name. So, and this process actually is very inefficient because in case of oxidative phosphorylation, production of ATP is 36 molecules per mole of glucose, and in case of aerobic glycolysis, it is only 4 molecules per mole of glucose. And important change not only in ATP production, but also in how mitochondria now is resistant to apoptosis and production of or signaling of apoptotic cell death. And it is related to changes in permeabilization of mitochondrial membrane and also changes in proteins, apoptotic factors and proteins downregulated with cancer cells, and anti-apoptotic proteins are upregulated. And so here is some summary what we can see in mitochondria of cancer cells. So in case of apoptosis, it is downregulation and upregulation of specific proteins, and also in case of metabolism, it is hypoxia, high glycolysis and very low level of oxidative phosphorylation. And all this definitely affects cells, and very important that apoptotic cell death now is not regulated as it is in normal cells. I also mentioned ER stress before, which is related to misfolding proteins accumulation. In case of cancer cells, because of multiple mutations, the rate of misfolded proteins is very high, and at the same time, chaperone proteins, which help right folding of the proteins, are changing in cancer cells, and some of them level of these proteins reduce. So in case of active misfolding, and at the same time, absence or reduced regulated cell death, obviously these misfold proteins are accumulated in the cells, and these cells are not dying, so they have very specific effect on the tumor mass and on the surrounding tissues. Again, changes occur for not only for regulated cell death system, but also for the whole homeostasis of the cells, and also for system of cleaning system of the cells. So lysosomes in cancer cells change their structure, shape, and also distribution of lysosomal enzyme. And so this definitely can increase change trafficking and change pool of proteins, good proteins versus bad proteins. And if some wrong structures are accumulating in the cells also, so autophagy can help with this, but it is also dysregulated in cancer cells, and in some cases autophagy not only prevent transformation of the cell, but be some of the cause of cancer development, so cancer transformation of the cell. All structures of the cell are affected. So, and obviously cell membrane is also affected. Some changes can occur in their fluidity, and because of this fluidity, distribution of specific regions on the membrane can be changed, and this will affect also cell signaling. And in addition to that, if membrane will be more fluid, so the penetration through such membrane can be much easier, and which lead to metastatic development. And now, after this brief overview changes in structures of the cell, so I would like to tell a few words about microenvironment. So now these were well known by based on experiments and also clinical data that microenvironment of the tumor is very important, and this tumor microenvironment is the whole ecosystem of tumor, which contains tumor and stromal elements and also signaling molecules. Combination of stromal cells and extracellular matrix can be pro- and anti-tumorigenic, and there are some good players here and some bad players. And depending on equilibrium of this player, so the scenario of tumor development or tumor can be very, very different. So what are the major cell types in tumor microenvironment? First of all, of course, it is cancer cells, but also it is cancer stem cells or cancer initiating cells. I will say a few words about them later. In addition to that, obviously a tumor is penetrated by vascular structures, and these structures are formed by endothelial cells and also pericytes, which are covering vessels. And a very important part of tumor microenvironment are cancer-associated fibroblasts, or CAF. And also, it is penetrating cells of immune system. And depending on localization and stage of the tumor, so this microenvironment can be very different. And so definitely we should distinguish between primary tumor and its microenvironment and invasive tumor, so cells which are going through vascular system and also the metastatic tumor which now resides in different location. So, and because of changing condition, this microenvironment and outcome of the development can be very different. So, one more time. So, tumor microenvironment consists of neoplastic cells, cancer stem cells, and cancer-associated fibroblasts, infiltrating cells, cells which are coming outside. It is lymphocytes and macrophages, and resident cells. It can be endothelial cells, it can be fibroblasts, it can be pericytes. Plus, there are multiple soluble factors which microenvironment is enriched with. It is cytokines, and some of them plays pro-tumorigenic role, some are anti-tumorigenic. It is matrix-altering enzymes like matrix metalloproteinases, and also multiple growth factors, the most important of which are VEGF, vascular endothelial growth factor, FGG fibroblast growth factor, PDGF platelet-derived growth factor, and TGF-beta, transforming growth factor beta. Extracellular matrix definitely is very important player in tumor microenvironment, and all conditions which we see in this microenvironment is acidic condition, hypoxia, hyperglycemia, and which lead to massive cell death through necrosis and very abnormal properties of surrounding cells, normal cells, but with abnormal properties. So stem cells or tumor-initiating cells were found when tumor cells were analyzed for expression of specific markers, and these cells was separated based on the high expression of specific proteins, surface markers CD73, CD90, CD105. And the major feature of these cells was described as even small amount of these cells can produce fast-growing tumors. In comparison with just regular tumor cells, which can colonize space only when they are seeded in very high amounts. Some of expression profiles of these cells resembles stem cells, normal stem cells. Why these cells were named stem cells, so cancer stem cells. And these cells give rise to some other type of cells, and 20% of cancer-associated fibroblasts originate from these stem cells. And cancer-associated fibroblast is are cells which are reside in stroma, and it is the predominant type of cells there. They produce a lot of proteins, synthesize proteins like collagen, periostin, and tenascin, and all these proteins form basis for extracellular matrix. One of the very important and major markers of this cells is expression of smooth muscle actin. And this fibroblast which express it remains very active, and they facilitate cancer progression. So this finding was reproduced in many in vitro and in vivo experiments in co-culturing this type of fibroblast with different type of cancer cells, and they increase tumor growth. And it is related to big production of different growth factors. This cancer-associated fibroblast produce TGF-beta, AGF, and stimulate cancer cell proliferation through this signaling. In addition to that, they produce some factors, some signaling, which is important for vessel formation, blood vessel formation. And through secreting FGF2 and FGF1, they play important role in neo angiogenesis in tumor environment. And also, there are some data that this fibroblast induce invasiveness and metastatic features of cancer cells. And this slide just demonstrates how different structurally are these two cells. So normal fibroblast expression of cytoskeleton proteins is well organized, and it is one type of microtubules and filaments. But in case of tumor-associated fibroblasts, it's different shape of the cells because of different cytoskeleton proteins, and this alpha smooth muscle actin fibers are responsible for the shape of the cells, and many other features are changed in the fibroblasts. The other very important component of tumor microenvironment is immune cells. They also can be pro or anti-tumorigenic, and anti-tumorigenic effects belongs to immune cells which produce protein M1 macrophages. It is also T helper 1 cells. It is cytotoxic T cells and antigen presenting cells and natural killer cells. But if macrophages express M2 protein, or if it is regulatory T cells and T helper 2 cells, so these cells behave as pro-tumorigenic. In addition to well-differentiated immune cells, there are multiple partially differentiated progenitor cells there, and it's thought that they also was demonstrated that these cells also have tumor-promoting activity. In macrophages, it is white blood cells. Cells which are responsible for phagocytosis, and they play a critical role in innate and adaptive immunity. And if these cells express M1, these cells, as I already mentioned, play anti-tumorigenic role, and the interleukin 1 and TNF alpha are very important signal molecules in how they affect the tumor growth. And in case of M2 macrophages, so they release cytokines like interleukin 10, and this type of cells promote tumor growth. And in case of T lymphocytes, it is also good players and bad players. And lymphocytes which express CD8 protein, this lymphocyte induce growth arrest, necrosis, and apoptosis in tumor cells through different cytokines, one of which is very important, interferon gamma. But if it is T-reg cells or CD4 expressing cells, so in this case you can expect that these cells will help tumor progression because they attenuate proliferation of CD8 positive cells, inhibit APC cells, and reduce lytic activity of natural killer cells. Next type of immune cells, antigen-presenting cells, also can be pro or anti-tumorigenic, and these cells express major histocompatibility proteins. And cells which express MHC1, they stimulate good CD8 positive T cells, and cells which express MHC2 proteins, they stimulate CD4 positive bad guys. Natural killer cells belongs to innate immune system, and they are important for tumor halting. But bad players very often affect these natural killer cells and decrease their activity in tumor microenvironment. In case of endothelial cells which and pericytes which also reside in tumor microenvironment, it is also a dramatic story because structure of vessels in tumors are very different from the structure of blood vessels in normal tissue. And the major changes which happen there is lack of pericytes which cover endothelial cells from outside and provide some very important signaling. And because of a hypoxia in the tumor, some fibroblasts and also stromal tissue produce a high level of vascular endothelial growth factors, which trigger neovascularization of the tumor. And when this new vessels are formed, so they are very different from its normal counterparts. So the lymphatic system is affected, and blood vessels are not as regular and well organized as in normal tissue. They are leaking, and so they don't provide too much of oxygen to the tumor tissue. Even they are growing and growing because of this high level of stimulating factors. And this is hypoxia affects many different aspects of tumor growth, but one of the aspects is This event named endothelial mesenchymal transition, and which we already heard of, and EMT is the process how cells, cancer cells, start invading and metastasize. Because of the changes from epithelial characteristics to mesenchymal characteristics and the ability to move now much freely. Multiple pathways regulate the processes, but I will not tell anything about this. I just mention a few pathways, and if you will be interested, I can give you more information where to read. And also extracellular matrix provide play a very important part in tumor formation and development, because first of all it provides a structural support to tumor epithelium and also produce different type of cells and also produce signaling molecules and keeps a lot of signaling molecules which can be withdrawn by tumor cells. And this ECM can also be a place where tumor initiating or cancer stem cells reside. And also it can, it is important for angiogenesis and inflammation. And when there are some changes in structure of ECM, which is a result of active dissolving of ECM by matrix metalloproteinases, this is the step how tumor cells can invade and can metastasize. So MMPs or matrix metalloproteinases are zinc dependent endopeptidases, and they are secreted by both tumor and stromal cells, but in tumor cells the expression is upregulated. So because of this upregulation, dissolving of ECM, so turnover of ECM in surrounding of tumor is going much faster. And inhibitors of this process, inhibitors of MMPs, named TIM, these tissue inhibitors of metalloproteinases are downregulated in cancer surrounding. Just briefly, we'll mention that there are more now data that more players are involved in regulation of tumor microenvironment, and these new players are microRNAs and exosomes. And microRNA are very important because it is very stable structures because of the short length and also how the granule enzymes which can and destroys this small molecule. And because of that, there are some specific particular microRNAs which now are linked to tumor progression. And one of these mRNA is microRNAs is MIR-21. And final thing about tumor microenvironment is when all these processes are coming together, so there are destruction of ACM, there are overexpression of anti-apoptotic proteins, there are downregulation of many proteins which can fight tumor. So the process of invasion occur, and cells, after degradation of ECM, cells can enter bloodstream and go through bloodstream to different sites of the organism. And but there are different views how this happened, because there are two major views how cells can go how cells can go out of the vessel, so extravasate. And there are some mechanical aspects of this, and there are some biochemical aspects of this. So there are theories of preferable places where this invasive cells can find homing, but there are also some theories that it depends only on how cells are, what cells are expressing, and what are surrounding of the cells. But so definitely this is very interesting area of tumor microenvironment studies. So to find out what is important for this new colonization of new places. And just very briefly, so it is very important to have adequate models where you can explore all these processes, and there are a few very good models and organisms where the study was done. So zebrafish is very useful organism because of its multiple and fast reproduction, because of the easy following the cells, especially if the cells are specifically marked with fluorescent proteins. So obviously mouse is our major organism where we do all our experiments. And also it is assays which are based on, which are related to androgenesis, and in this case the chicken eggs are used for this type of assay. And of course it is in vitro system where, but now we move more and more from two-dimensional in vitro system to three-dimensional system where we try to recreate conditions in tumor microenvironment. And the approach is how to treat tumor. How so the old approach when tumor is resected definitely leaves behind this tumor initiating cells plus all signaling from tumor microenvironment which helps this residual cells regrow. And so very important approach is this combination of different type of intervention. So when you can affect cancer stem cells, when you can affect fibroblasts, tumor-associated fibroblasts, immune cells, and extracellular matrix, and also endothelial cells or vasculature of the tumor. And there are some examples how it can be done, even with existing known chemicals or known drugs, or even known small molecules, how this combinatorial approach can be achieved. And so I gave a few reviews for reading which describe in detail all these approaches. So this is what I wanted to tell you, and if you have any questions, you are welcome, and thank you very much for your attention.